Welcome to the very best podcast in the world. Welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. This is your host, Nick Tibuzek, and with me is the very best co-host in the world, Dennis the Piccolo.
Hello, everyone.
Today's topic is the famous, the legendary. Everyone was waiting for. Today's topic is the Dip Talk.
So, it's an episode that we already recorded in German, and we recorded a poll talk too, already. And now it's time to talk about the dip, yes. I think the first step will be to talk about the setup. So, how do I set up for a dip, Nick?
The very first thing that you need, in my opinion, is a proper setup of parallel bars. So it should be high enough, it should be wide enough for you to dip well, and it shouldn't be too wide. That's a very, very important one. So another thing is for the setup, you should have something like a box or something where you do the entry into the dip.
As that you get in like above the parallel bars and you don't have to like push yourself and already lose strength and stability there.
The very important part here is that you can already start with extended locked out arms. Mm. That's a very important one because that will help you a lot. That from what I experienced over the years with athletes is this is the magic how a good dip has to start, because when you have that set up, you can position everything else very well. Yeah. And we definitely gonna talk about that, because the setup here should be extended arms, of course, and what is very, very important, how you put the shoulder in there. And when you bring up the shoulder in there, the important part here is it shouldn't be like that you have the shoulder next to your ear. Yeah.
So when you get in principle, you have to push your shoulders away from your ears as much as possible.
Yes.
You press them and really have this extremely stable support hold to start with. If you have like 100 kg hanging on you, you need to be stable when you start. When you're ready, start with shoulders that are somewhere, you're just gonna hurt yourself.
So absolutely.
Extremely important. And for the width, generally there's no golden rule, but most people say like take your forearm and look how wide it is. Generally, especially if you have P bars that are not straight, but get wider with time, you always get the same point, especially if you're peaking for a competition and you're not doing hypertrophy,
yeah,
that you get extremely efficient in that movement.
And from the setup point, another one should be do a rep with body weight, and over time you will also see that. What is very important from the width, when you do your rep, your elbows should stay over the wrist all the time. So what you see very, very often is someone pushes himself up, back up, and the elbows come in or come out. If this is the case, usually when the elbows come in, you probably are too wide. When the elbows come out while pushing up, you usually have pretty a problem with external or internal rotation during your rep. And that's something we're going to talk about later on. But that then, if that is the case, it's probably not the best setup for you. So that's something we gotta keep an eye on. But when we do the setup for it, if you ever did ring dips, this is usually the best thing to check, okay, how wide should I go? Because in the ring dips, you usually get into a very natural position with all that stuff. And this is how you can check for yourself, okay, this is usually what helps me the best in that case, as from there you just transfer it to the parallel bars.
Yeah, and another advantage of trying on, like, trying something on the rings first is just to get a general feeling what stability should feel like. Because if you're not stable in your shoulder girdle starting to dip, you will feel it and tremble, and you will feel that something's wrong. So a very stable position to start with is extremely important.
That's the point.
I think the last point we could talk about is depth. There's often the problem that parallel bars are too low. That's the second problem, where the optimal dip is performed when your legs are straight and you don't have to bend them. It's way easier to focus on just keeping good tension in the body, good tension in your abs, glutes, but we will talk about that later. So just from the setup, look that you have a decent setup to dip in. It is pretty hard to find. Honestly, most commercial gyms, people have like problems dipping or injured in self-dipping, but it's often just because the means that are there are terrible and you can't really use them.
Absolutely. One more thing for the setup. When you build up something, how you step into it, a lot of people put boxes behind them. Mm-hmm. Something that I definitely recommend is try using two boxes left and right beside you, because from there on you don't have to step forward into it. You just press yourself up into the position, mm-hmm. and then just put the feet together. And that's a very, very important one. What is really, really important here is don't put the boxes too narrow, as we saw in the German Championship like 4 or 6 weeks ago, I don't know, something like that, in the middle of October. Tonio missed his first 160 kg dip because he touched the boxes on the side, and it was not that the rep was not given to him. He missed it because he touched the boxes on the side, and that brought him out of focus, and then he lost the rep. And that's something you got to keep an eye on. Make sure everything around you is as much in a good place for you as possible, so that you don't lose focus. That's very important, especially when you dip heavy.
Yeah. So I think we will work through the body part by part.
Yes.
Starting from the wrist, which is probably the easiest one, but one of the things so many people get wrong.
Yes, and I don't know why.
So generally, when you set up for the dip, or generally every movement, actually, it is important that the force goes straight through the hand to the forearm, and that you don't bend it. This is like with almost all movements where you really move your hand, like military press too. You see it when people are used to front squatting, for example. What they very often do, they bend their wrist back a lot. And when they push up the weight, for example, they feel pain. And same thing with dips. When you manage to put the force straight through your wrist, it will feel much better than when it's bent. And I think that's something you can implement right away. It's not difficult, and it will feel so much better.
There's one thing a lot of people will now maybe think of. Yeah, but when I do bench press, I will have a little bit broken wrist right there. Yes, you do, but it's a different case. If you have the possibility to keep the wrist stable, it's always the better position for your body, as you just can produce more power. It will end up like that. And especially in dips, that is a very, very important case, because you have to stabilize yourself. And the amount of weight on your wrist at that time is a pretty, pretty high one. And you should just take care of that, because you also, if you have it stable, it's not like that you have a broken wrist and just have it like the bend wrist. you also can, with a really stable wrist, produce more power when you lean forward in the dip.
Exactly. This is a very good point, and it's something I, for example, noticed in planche too. Like one of my biggest mistakes in planching, for example, was always bending my wrist very, very strongly. And when like I'm working on fixing it and keeping that straight, you manage to put a lot of force on the flexors of the forearm. And through that, taking away a lot of weight from your biceps and your front delt in a planche where you lean forward. In the dip, of course, the effect isn't as big, but every little bit helps.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the next thing that we have to talk about is how do we position the elbow? And we already had that a little bit. Mm-hmm. The elbow should stay over the wrist all the time. And another thing that I notice a lot of times with people is they start their dip and I don't know why, but they like to put the elbow, when they push back up, they put it back. And I don't get why.
I think often the mistake starts already when starting the movement. Like usually when people are set up on the dip, and if you keep your shoulders nicely depressed, you won't be able to go down straight. Meaning people that go down straight, which is a mistake you see extremely often, it's a mistake that brings all the elements together. Mm-hmm. They lose the scapula, they elevate the scapula, and what they do first is a flexion of an elbow. Like they start by thinking, okay, I need to flex my elbow.
Yeah.
They are scared of going forward, and they try to go down as upright as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's where very often people bring the elbow back, and then for some people it happens in the second part of the movement. Maybe they lean back, lean forward nicely when they start the movement, but when they get back up, they elevate the shoulders and automatically try to shorten their humerus to make it easier for them, but losing stability and overcharging other structures of the body.
Absolutely.
Like, for example, the chest. And that's like the mistake that you see extremely often.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can fix first is look when you dip, if you're at a 90 degrees angle, if your elbow is above your wrist. Not for everyone it's gonna be the same, since it always depends a bit on how long your arm is, etc. But you will see and feel when it's right.
Yeah, there's a little range where you move, but in that range you do move. But it is very important to understand that when you put your elbow back, you take out a little bit of your chest. Mm-hmm. When you look at it from a biomechanic thing. And when you lean a little bit more forward, what brings the elbow above your wrist, you can bring in the chest a little bit better. And that's a potential you should use in terms of hypertrophy and, of course, in terms of strength. Because what you want to do is moving weight and being as efficient as possible and using the right muscles for that. And that's usually the efficient way. So bringing in the chest a little bit more will always help you moving more weight. And of course, it makes your chest bigger in terms of hypertrophy. And who doesn't like a big chest? Yeah. Come on, baby.
I think we'll talk about hypertrophy a bit later.
Yes.
Because the chest thing is always a big discussion in dips.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll look more into detail later.
Absolutely. The next thing that we have to bring in there is how do we position the shoulder in the dip? And that's something I see that so often, that people miss potential here. And if you put in your shoulder into the right position, you just bring in so much potential. So what we already had was the depression thing. Mm-hmm. And something that a lot of people teach and got teach is something like do a hard protraction. You don't.
Yeah, I think over the years, like the thing you see in movements like that, people always tend to extremes. Mm-hmm. It seems that when they abduce a tiny bit their scapulas, so meaning they go a tiny bit in protraction, they feel like, okay, I might feel more stable here. And when you planche, you're in protraction, and then people that got into street lifting afterwards, they tend to go into this extreme protraction. And when you're so strongly protracted, first of all, it's extremely difficult to go into depression. It is difficult as like to focus on it. And at the same time, injury risk is therefore bigger too. Just principally, it is easier that your shoulder goes up and that you hurt yourself with the supra or infraspinatus when you're in that position.
Yeah.
And I think the second part is people tend to lean way too much forward while doing this. Like they go in protraction, they just lean their body forward, the hip doesn't move, and they go up again. And
yes.
What you call a planche.
I'm a hater of that. that is something that goes to my heart. Actually, I want people to actually dip, and dipping means the hip goes down, the weight you have on your belt goes down, and it's not just a leaning forward and leaning backwards. Yeah, that's something you can do this kind of stuff, maybe as an assistance exercise, or I don't know, whatever you want to hit with that. I have no idea what.
But when you have a big ego and or a competition allows it.
Yeah,
I mean, many competitions didn't have rules for the hip needs to go down below parallel, for example, and you can probably move down to even 20 kg more like that.
Absolutely.
So like the sport is pretty young and rules are made on the go to try to get these things better, and it's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So shoulder positioning is something a lot of people know. Do the depression, do some kind of protection, as we learned now.
Yeah.
And what is also very important, when it comes just to protraction, it should also be where do you put the shoulder itself, and it's not only shoulder blade where you put it, but also where you put the shoulder itself. So what I'm talking about is all of us can move a little bit of the humerus. And what we definitely have to think of is when we do dips, please think of you have this humerus, the bone of your upper arm, in something like, the German word for this is Kugelgelenk.
Kugelgelenk, yeah.
Fucking hell, what is that in English? I have no idea. Actually, it's like in a
ball-shaped...
like in a bowl,
yeah.
Like if you would have something in a bowl, when you put the humerus a little bit too far forward, you will get into the problem that you have less space between the humerus, the bone, and of course the shoulder itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you decrease space there, and that will lead to some kind of problem. So what is very important is to keep it stable in the middle. That's it, not too much of bringing it forward. And that's something a lot of people do wrong in the dips, and then their shoulder hurts.
Yeah.
Because of course, yeah, at that time, the biceps tendon will get into trouble at that point, especially when you rep out some reps and you really bring pressure on it and have movement there, you will definitely get in trouble there.
It is principally always the same thing in many movements, in the pull-up too, like keeping the depression and this the space you talked about, the subacromial space.
Yes.
Where everything runs through, keeping that space as big as possible while performing movement is just always a good idea. Then you will always find people say, okay, I've done dips like this for ages and nothing ever happened. It depends on your anatomy. There are people that are super susceptible, they do it wrong once and they always get pain. Some people do it for 20 years and they're not gonna have a problem.
Oh.
But it's still a good idea. And the depression in the shoulder, so We talked about slide protection. Does feel good for most people, or having a neutral. What I wouldn't recommend is retracting your shoulder blades completely. That usually makes it very, very difficult to depress your shoulders, and you run into the same problem as before. And generating force in the chest is super difficult in that position too, when you're at the bottom. And yeah, what was I saying? Depression. A clue I always give my clients is the shoulder is in the right position when you can feel your latissimus. Meaning when you push down your shoulder and you actually feel tension in your latissimus dorsi and at the end. It means that it's nice and down and you have like a good tension going in there. And I think that since we talked about the scapula with the shoulder, or something to add to the scapula itself.
I think another good hint here is, because I love this latissimus hint, when you're sitting right here and you're doing that, of course when you're doing too much protraction, you will always also feel your traps a lot. When you feel your traps too much in that position, it's too much of protection, usually. So
it's at the same time, when your shoulders are elevated, you will use more the trapezius.
Exactly.
It's a natural function.
So for you as a listener, the lats should be involved from what you feel. The traps will be involved, but you shouldn't feel them. That's the big important point right there. So I think that's very important. And when you do so, you mostly also work more with your trap free. So that one stays activated and keeps you in a depression.
Yeah.
So especially when you move up from when you move down, you're doing your dip and you move up, a lot of people lose tension right there and then push themselves up and lose the shoulders.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue. A lot of people get into trouble.
That's actually the hardest part is like once many people get the beginning and they learn to lean forward and then just bring flexion in the elbows. Not for everyone, some people do it at the same time. It's a bit like hip and knee in the squat. And they go forward and then when you're doing they're at the bottom position, zack, the shoulder goes out again. And that's super important that you always focus on feeling the lat. Especially because at that bottom position, it has like the antagonist function and it's a flexor in that moment, if I'm not wrong, and it helps you actually getting out of the hole too.
Absolutely.
And you can manage to stay safe. It just feels better and more stable. And many people after we recorded this in German, like I got 10,000 messages of people saying, yeah, one shoulder doesn't go down as well as another. That's pretty normal since you're mostly sitting there all day with one hand riding, for example, and one arm will be more elevated than the other. And you can work on it, and the most common problems are where your elevators are like pulling your shoulder up too much. And you can massage them before dipping. That helps many people already, or maybe the infraspinatus completely closed and you can't put your shoulder down well on one side, but the options can be various and you should like go and work around it and maybe go to a professional in case like we don't have all the answers. Just it's super individual. It's super, sometimes you need to feel and see the person. When we're giving our general hints, you can use.
Absolutely. And one thing that you can always work on in that case, trap three all the time. That's a very, very important one. Why is also another reason why you should use the latissimus in there is it's just another internal rotator. And something that we definitely have to talk about is that's a combination, because of course the main movers here are chest and triceps. Of course, yeah. Everybody thinks of chest and triceps in dips. Yeah, that they are the main movers
and
there.
Some front delt, maybe.
Yes, but they are probably not the main movers, but of course always involved in there. You can't just take them out, you would lose your shoulder. The very important part here is the chest is an internal rotator, and this is also why you shouldn't keep the elbows too narrow to the body, because when you do so, you minimize your internal rotation, as internal rotation happens when you put your elbows out away from your body. So the very important part here is to stay in, it's a little bit critical to give a certain degree where you have to put your arm away from the body, but the thing here is everybody always had the cue, also with push-ups, that was something, keep the elbows close to the body, and that's a misconception here.
It's always like, I don't know, somewhere around 45 degrees is way better.
Absolutely.
And it just feels better. You will feel like if you dip extremely narrow, you will feel your tricep burn. And if you want to move as much weight as possible, you can't just rely on the tricep, especially in the lower part of the movement,
yes,
where it's pretty stretched out and it's super difficult to activate. Mm-hmm. In the second part of the movement, it's going to be very easy. It's going to help you a lot. But in the lower part of the dip, you need bigger muscles. And people think, oh, my sticking point is like usually like 10 degrees above the hole. It's not. Like the problem is you lose a lot of strength in the hole because you don't get out of the hole effectively.
That's a very important one. When you look at it from a biomechanical way, the triceps is something that extends your arm. Yeah, that's the function of that muscle. So what happens with the chest is it will absolutely do the job when you're in the lowest position, because in the lowest position your elbow goes back behind your body, and when you look at how the chest works, it's attached to your front side of the body and also attached to your humerus on your arm. So what a muscle always does is pulling. Even if you do a pushing movement, a muscle can only do one thing. It can contract, so it's pulling. So what is the chest doing right there is when you put your arm backwards, the chest is pulling, and that's bringing your arm forward. So that's actually the thing that happens when you're in the lowest position of your dip. And this is actually why you need a proper recrutation in that position to bring in the chest for the dip. So that's a very, very important thing to think of when you're coming into the hole. Think of your chest to push you backwards. So this is a little bit like the squat pattern. When you're doing squats, that muscle that brings you out of the hole is the adductor magnus. And that's actually the muscle that is doing the hip extension in that position. It's not doing that all the way, but in the hole down there, it is doing it. And that's actually the thing that does the chest in that position. So that's a very, very important one to understand, that when you come out of the hole properly and you have a problem of extending your arm later, that's usually not because you have a sticking point or something.
No. It's because you don't use it in the most optimal way.
Absolutely.
I think this is a big point when you were talking about the elbows before too. So generally, if we look at bodybuilding too, the dip is always seen as an exercise that, especially in EMG studies, for example, shows an extreme activation, meaning the chest is like you use a lot of the chest. And in bodybuilding, for example, people tend to tell you to stay a bit more upright with the chest. While in street lifting, you see people using the chest a bit more like it's used in a bench press maybe, where the angle, like your chest looks towards the floor more than upright. Let's say if you stay a bit more upright, but still diagonal, meaning bringing the legs back, when you get down in the movement, your chest won't work optimally, meaning your muscles look in a certain direction.
The fibers,
exactly, and they work better in one direction than another. If you stay a bit more upright and you go down, you will stretch them out completely. Mm-hmm. Meaning when a muscle is stretched out completely, it's super difficult for him to actually create force because it's very long. Meaning you get a lot of muscle damage and a lot of muscle activation, but you are not able to generate much force. Meaning if you want to destroy your chest, meaning like build new muscle, for example, putting this variation in isn't a bad idea if you can do it safely. So it doesn't mean that a dip doesn't build your chest. But if you want to move more weight, you need to use that muscle optimally and put it in a position where you can actually use this internal rotation, really push your chest together, really use your muscle fibers like they're meant to be used, and push yourself out as strongly as possible. It's like trying to use a muscle where it can generate much force.
Yeah.
So for example, the bicep, you won't be, like when it's completely straight, you won't be able to hold much weight in your hand if you extend it, because it needs to work in a very, very unpleasant position, like in the planche. That's why everyone rips this muscle in the planche. But it gets very strong with time, even though many people don't curl. If you curl, you can curl much more weight with it, because you just get into this position for a short time, you get out of it. And here it can create much more force. So, yeah, the same principle.
A very, very important cue for this in the end is what I saw with a lot of people is when I tell our athletes, please keep your abs crunched.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on the lowest point, keep them crunched and push back with a crunched. With
super
crunch.
Difficult for me, for example. So.
Same here.
Yeah,
I'm weak.
Mistake, yeah.
I'm weak in my core, but that's something that holds me back from higher weights.
Yeah.
And when you stay stable in the abdominals and really keep it crunched, you can bring in the chest in a better way, because you're a little bit more leaned forward, not too much.
Yeah.
That's a very important one, because this leads, this crunching leads to something what is not a very leaning forward, but a leaned forward position. And in that position, you just have exactly the right angle of your chest fibers, so they can fire up in the best position. And that's a very important one, because what we always think of is, yeah, but I can train lower chest and upper chest, and I have to do this and that. Actually, if you look at EMG studies, the activation of the upper chest in a dip is not that low.
Yeah, it's extreme. Like, it's comparable to an inclined bench. It's comparable to an inclined bench, while the lower chest activation is like, I don't know, three times as high, something like that. I mean, EMG studies like doesn't mean more hypertrophy, but activation is great.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So the very good thing right here to keep in mind is you can actually train your whole chest with this one movement, and that's a very important one to understand here. So you don't need 10,000 exercises to do so. What is also good to mention here is when you do your dips here, that's a very important one. It is absolutely necessary to use your chest to get out of the hold, because another reason why, because we already mentioned the chest is the one that brings you out, because it's the best position for the chest to bring it out. But there's another thing: your triceps is in the biomechanical shittiest position to bring you out of that hole, because in that position your elbow is completely bent, and at that point it's very, very, very hard for the triceps to actually produce force, even if it's probably on the stretch, on the most stretched position in that at that point. And that's something you always have to keep in mind. It's both muscles that you need in that case.
If you get like a good stretch and you want to work on hypertrophy, it's nice and good. You can work on tricep hypertrophy by going all the way down in a dip, keeping your legs a bit more forward. It is a variation that's probably most dangerous for most people, but biomechanically makes sense. But it doesn't mean that you're the strongest. You just create a lot of damage. And it's difficult to create force, meaning the weight will need to go down. You will have to be careful.
Yeah.
And yeah. And generally, by dipping the way we're talking about this, it is a competition dip, but I feel like with time, it is what is the most important thing is to stay as safe as possible. And this feels safe, and you can move big weights. And it uses the right muscles in the right ways, meaning especially if you are preparing for a competition, it makes sense to dip like this, while in other phases, you can dip differently and work on your weaknesses or do accessory exercises, that's no problem. But this really takes a lot of it into it. And if you use it right, your chest will grow. I mean, they always say in calisthenics, people don't have chests. It's because they don't understand how to do push-ups. They don't know, like, they don't use their chest. They just use tricep and front delt. That's everything they use all the time.
Yeah.
And they forget or don't understand how to use it if they don't bench because they're like,
absolutely. And if you look at those who are doing loads of sets of reps, usually they do have big chest. Yeah. I mean, look at Runch. He has such a great chest, actually. And if you look like Dejan, he has such a good chest, and he's doing push-ups and dips all the time and not doing too many other exercises on. And
for me, it was the same. Like, the moment I changed the technique and started working on push-ups again, which are completely underrated, everyone forgot about them, but weighted push-ups are an amazing exercise, especially now where you have to stay at home. Like, the chest can actually grow well.
Absolutely. And it's a great assistance exercise to the dips.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think the last part, which we haven't written down actually, is the head position. Like, that's a big thing. Like, people get super crazy about it, I feel like. And from my experience, like, having here too, like, a 45 degree angle down, like, looking forward, and keeping it there makes it the easiest. Like, a mistake I often do is I look down very much, and then I go down, and while I go up, I throw my head up right away.
Yeah.
The moment I throw my head up, I open my chest.
Yeah.
And lose this favorable position for my chest and just use my tricep.
Yeah.
So try to keep try to look always at the same point and keep your head there. Sometimes it feels like it helps bringing your head up, but it doesn't. Maybe in the second part of the movement, when you're already like starting to work a lot on your tricep, you can push your weight down and make it easier for the tricep to take the weight. So that could be useful. But like people say, like you throw yourself up with your head, that's bullshit. You make your life actually more difficult and easier.
And I can actually explain why this is the case. Because when you do so, the thing with that is everybody does that.
Yeah.
When you bring up your head, and you even if you're just sitting right now, do it. Bring your it will always happen because you will always have a thoracic extension at that point. And when you do so, you lose tension in your lats at that point, and that creates less internal rotation. Less internal rotation will get the chest out of line. And when you have that, you just depend on the triceps. And especially in the lower part, when you want to get out of the hole, you die depending just on your triceps.
Doing something like that, like, and you bring the chest in a very stretched position, which could hurt you too. And so many injuries happen because of that.
Yeah.
Like, they stretch out, and then they just stay here, and they rip something.
Absolutely. They come close into the hole, open up and stretch everything completely, and then you die. Yeah.
Then they say, oh, but I feel my chest. Yeah, you feel the chest breathe. Like, with certain weights, you risk ripping it.
Absolutely, and that's an issue.
It's nice for you, but At the same time, if you do this, like your back extends too, and the tension, the crunch you were talking about, that's the second thing you lose, you throw your legs back, and just like, you lose generally, especially if you have to do more reps, you start swinging, you lose strength.
Yes.
Not a good idea.
One thing that we forgot, and we definitely have to talk about, is why, another reason why you should keep the abs really contracted and in a crunched position. Because it keeps your legs directly below you, and it keeps your legs narrow to the plates that you have between your legs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very, very important one, because the center of mass should stay below your chest.
Yeah.
And when you go downwards, you always have this position of having the weight here below you. And when you bring the legs too hard backwards, it's gonna be a little bit harder for your chest and your triceps to produce enough force, because the center of mass is not at the right position. And you will get into trouble with that. And that's a big issue. Yeah, of course, because you don't move that much weight. That's it.
It's like when you squat and your weight is like completely off center.
Yeah, that's
it. You will use all your muscles and they won't be as strong, and it just doesn't feel right.
Exactly. So there is something like a bar path in the dip too.
Yeah.
And you got to keep that in mind, that you always want to stay in one line.
Yeah.
All right.
We covered it well and quickly.
That was fast. Fucking hell. I'm happy. If you have any more questions, please feel free to shoot us some messages on our Instagram to Strength and Skills Podcast. And if you liked this episode, please feel free to share this one. Send it out to those who dip like shit, and send it out to those who dip amazing to make them even better, so we get more weight moved in the world. All right. If you
tag us and tag us in your dips too, and the podcast.
Yes.
So I know we don't have too many international episodes out, but we'll keep working on them. And
absolutely.
Go for it.
All right. If you want to contact us, you can contact Dennis at
_Kallis.
Perfect. On Instagram. And me is Nick_Tibu. Here we go. Enjoy and dip heavy.